Good morning, New Eden. Today is April 30th, 2023, and this is the Federation Frontline Report. I'm your host, Frozen Fallout, and my co-host is Nightflyer.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining the show. Frozen, it has been an active week in faction warfare.
Yeah, things have been going pretty crazy. I had a really fun night on Friday. Got in a bunch of kills. Sedition took out a crazy fleet to go fight against the Kaldari, and we had multiple clashes that were a lot of fun.
Yeah, Young Puke has been running fleets all week trying to fight in that northwest quadrant. I was on some of those fleets with you. We put in a valiant effort. I think we didn't come out too fruitful by losing Frary, but fun was had by many. Leave it at that.
Yeah, definitely. And today we will be interviewing Selena. Tell us, how's Eve treating you these days?
Yeah, pretty good. Came back in November after a four-year layoff, and really it's changed a lot, so lots to learn, but enjoying it.
Yeah, so I heard that recently you were able to pull off a, was it like two or three trillion-isk heist recently?
Yeah, 2.2 at the last count of the spreadsheet, and it's a big spreadsheet.
And that's like ISK and assets, so there's a lot of bits and pieces in there.
Yeah, mostly assets. 130 billion in ISK, which that was all was in the wallet. Everything else is in assets, in, you know, BPOs, Fortizars, the 10 faction Fortizars, for instance. That's nearly a trillion ISK in its own right.
Oh, wow. 10 faction Fortizars?
Yes.
Wow, that's incredible. One of the first questions. So, first, the name of your corporation, Cariola's Legacy. Is that a person, or is that the commonly used Russian phrase?
No, Cariola is the name of the Chimera that the Kaldari Admiral drove into Gal Prime, I believe.
Okay. Oh. It does loosely translate in Russian as call girl. So
okay, well,
just wanted to see Call Girl's Legacy. I thought was awesome. I'm like, what a fantastic name for a Kaldari corp.
Yeah, well, so it's actually Eve Law, so that's why we went down it, because most of our Chimeras have that beloved faction skin.
Oh,
Cariola's Sacrifice.
Oh, so awesome! I like it. So, how did this plan to heist 2.2 trillion ISK come about?
Yeah, look, after I came back into the game about January, I sent a message to the core leadership sort of saying, you know, hey, I'm back, happy new year and all that stuff, and just heard crickets, nothing. And I had a chat with a couple of guys that were still playing in that group, and I said, what's going on? Am I like persona non grata? And I got the general feeling I was. So I went, okay. So after about 3 weeks of floating around in Pandemic Horde, I went, nah, don't really like Pandemic Horde, so I left. And a few of my old mates from the old core got back online, and we went our own way. And one evening, we were just sitting there talking about saying, left a lot of assets there, which technically were my personal assets, and they're not going to actually part ways with them. So one of the chaps mentioned, oh, you could try the shares mechanic if you know where the shares are. Strangely enough, I did. So we hatched a bit of a plan. So I guess the big question, as you asked earlier, is who had the shares? So I've had them all along. I was the CEO of that corporation from the very beginning.
So you were the founder and the corporation CEO.
Correct.
And this was Event Horizons? Or?
Yes, Event Horizon Expeditionaries.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Yeah, there's a lot of speculation on that. Some of the podcasters out there that were bringing this up and talking about it on Reddit were really questioning how you could come across the shares if you weren't at least a CEO or one of the founders. And some of the people were saying that maybe there was some real world trading going on, cash for a character type thing.
No, not in the slightest. So if people have a look at Event Horizon, they'll see a character with a founder is a character called Nikki Shear, which is one of my alts, and I've used her to set up many corporations. Between the transit between two cores, we had an original core called Don't Run Naked, which was our very first corporation. So Nikki stood up the core, Event Horizon, while we moved the assets from one to the other. And then I became the CEO and moved all the shares under my Sienna.
Yeah, and in-game shows that you were part of that corp for 11 years, so...
Yes, that's correct. Even though four of those I wasn't actually playing, they just kept me around, which is probably to their detriment.
Oh. Well, I think you really opened up a lot of eyes for people on how shares work in this game and what shares are. I, for one, you know, I never got into the corp aspect of it, and Frozen never gives me any, so I'm just assuming that.
I'm happy to take some.
Just handing those things. So what did you do? What's the story with how did you pull this off?
So it was actually quite I guess from my aspect it was a bit nerve-wracking. So I had a new chap into Cariola's Legacy, Packrat, and we sort of hit it off from the start, and he mentioned the shares and we sort of started the research, and I sort of said to him, look, if I try to go in, they're going to know it's me. I'm going to stand out. So he stuck McLovin, which was the character that he had, which had a bit of history, some skill points, didn't look too suspect. So he enrolled. I think he put the app in. It took about a week and a half for them actually notice his application. They had to ping like everyone in their leadership. They were that AFK. And he got in. It was accepted. Went on a combat run with them one night, even with the CEO, Chiaki. And... we just sat on comms on a Monday evening, and I said, well, I think it's time. So I gave him 25% of my shareholdings, and we kicked the vote off. And from what I'm told, they did see the vote. It was in their CEO and director notifications, but from our perspective, they never logged in.
Yeah, that's been the speculation. That's been the speculation that... Because once you put in that vote, it's what, a 72-hour?
That's right.
Yeah, as long as you get 50% of the votes of the people. And it's the people who voted, not people of the corp voting.
That's right. So the two votees was Sienna and McLovin. We had all the shares. So it was like, yes and yes, McLovin for CEO.
Oh, and history was made because people just didn't play or were AFK or not paying attention.
So if they had come online to do anything, what could they have done to try and prevent this?
Well, look, it sits in their notification, so the directors and the CEO would have seen the notification that the vote had been called. But from my understanding, having a discussion with another player in Event Horizon, who was actually flying with my group as well, he sort of said that it was buried 45 notifications down. So they would have missed it. And the CEO, if she had tried to use her CEO powers, would have noticed that she was locked out of everything. So it hinged on those two things, really. They're not using their powers and not seeing the notifications. And 3 days wait. And then they could have moved all their assets out and saved their assets.
So if they also had like just watched, you know, the assets and everything like that, they would have been able to pull them out of, because this is all like the corp hangers and stuff like that. Is that correct?
That's correct. So part of the planning was once he was actually in, he could see where all the corporate offices were, and I began to place my alts at key locations in Highsec Islands, adjacent to low-sec systems where we suspected they were jumping in from. So we suspect, you know, most half decent cores would put most of their assets in a high-sec position because you're fairly nomadic and null. So, and strangely enough, look, they were in the same stations that we used back when I played. So it was relatively easy to figure out.
So that's the second half or second part of this heist, is not only that you have to beat the vote, get the vote, and take control of the assets, now you have to secure the assets, which are scattered around New Eden.
That's correct, yes. Yeah. So between the two of us, so once he was in Flamingo Hill, which was the alt I used, because I wanted to be untraceable at this point in time, mm-hmm. I put an application into the corporation. I trained her from scratch to have certain skills like contracting. Got in, was made a director, and between the two of us, we started contracting everything out. So Flamingo basically had all the assets contracted to that character, and then we started to move them around.
Yeah, which then brings up the third part of it, is so now you have all these assets in various places, and now you have to get them to where you can either cash them out or use them mm-hmm. without you know, the rest of the people from Pandemic Horde being like, yeah, you guys are dead to us. if they had a deeper shade of red, I'm sure you guys would have activated at that time. So.
Oh, definitely. Look, I think the beauty of it is being that Event Horizon had moved around and had no stations of their own, and previously I know they did, because I helped build a lot of them, all their assets were sitting in two HiSec NPC stations, one in Nisha and one in Ebo. So it was like I had Flingo sitting in Ebo, and it was like I just opened up their corporate tabs and went, yep, well, there's 2 trillion ISK sitting here, and just emptied their hangars. It was actually quite easy.
And as we said, we have the assets, we have the billions in actual cash money ISK. We have mm-hmm. the faction, should say Fortizars?
Yes, faction Fortizars.
And stacks of original blueprints. So you now mm-hmm. have the potential to make gobs of money.
That's right. I think we've got all the in-game upwell station structure BPOs. We've got a BPO for every combat capital, including 2 supers. Sadly, missed out on the Ragnarok BPOs.
Can't win them all, I guess, so.
But I'll take the win.
No, it definitely win. Again, this was a historical heist. I believe it is officially the largest in-game heist that's been committed. Mm-hmm. And just with expert skill, if I may say so.
Thank you.
So, appreciate it. Have you spent all this ISK yet, or are there long-term plans?
Yeah, what are you going to do with all this money? I know you're in the Kaldari, so is this going to go right into funding the war effort, taking the whole you going to take down Snuff? No,
I have to hire someone to do that. No, actually, we're still selling it off. I think we've probably got close to moving a trillion ISK worth of gear in from assets into liquid ISK.
Wow.
I'm still sitting on, I think between Packrat and myself, we've both taken a faction Fortizar each. He's taken the Amar one and I've taken the Eldari one, just for, you know, something to have. I'm still sitting on 4 Prometheus Fortizars. I've sold the other, 5? So if you're anyone who wants to buy Prometheus Fortizar, just hit me up.
Celine's got the hookup.
Unfortunately, that's way out of my price range, so I am, half E poor. I've got 1 character with money and a bunch that do not have anything. So
fair enough. Yeah, well, I was pretty E poor when I came back to the game, but no longer.
Yeah, now you've got funding for days. Easily, yeah, well, if you just want to throw some Titans away every day, you can do that.
Marshall
probably
fleets.
Could, but That is true. Well, look, we're just sitting on it at the moment. We haven't really, we've only probably divided 100 billion between us, and we're just sitting on the rest to see what the actual figure is at the end, and then we'll divide it up, and I have no real plans with it.
Well, if I could plant the bug, I would say leave Kaldari and join the Galente Federation and help that war effort. I think that would be the way to go.
No, sorry, my character is a Kaldari, and I must admit, it did take me like a month to get my Kel standings up because I had been flying with Gal previously. Not in faction war, but just missioning. So, no remorse there. I'm staying where I'm put, mate. I'm enjoying Kel faction war.
Yeah, tell us. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think we're both on the same thing there, Frozen, was that I was just looking at your kill board. I see you got a lot of kills. You've been doing a lot of actually work out in the Mimitar Mars space.
We deployed to the Shipcaster event. Took us to Heck.
Okay.
We went there to Shipcaster. So I took the whole corporation there, and we were just running the Shipcasters for that time when we'd only just moved back to Blackrise.
Oh, so you guys are back in Blackrise now.
Yeah, look, you evil Gelmill have taken a few systems off us. We thought you were all asleep. Razor Alliance has reared its head locally around where we operate. So we're up against Razor at the moment in probably the Athenunan to Rashad pipe. So we're dealing with them.
Okay, and so you guys have redeployed now to Blackrise. What's your plans here? Are you guys gonna take back all of Onasekin? And because I've seen that Onasekin has been getting hit, and it looks like it's gonna be fighting pretty soon here, unless some massive changes and pushes are being done. I have seen you guys around lately. What do you think? Going off not just like what's going on right now, but just in general, what are your feelings on the new faction warfare frontline system?
I actually like it. I think faction warfare has evolved into something that is actually better than it was. I really think they could do with some more changes. I'd like to see them put in what they did with the Shipcaster into the Plexus. I think that would stimulate more PvP, having the NPCs actually scream you, for instance, so you can't get out when I warp in on you. That would be magic.
That would cause a lot more PvP for sure.
It would. The Shipcaster event, I think, was very interesting on how that you could really rain on someone's parade by warping into the plexus there and just taking them down and getting their loot and off you go.
So I haven't really been involved too much in the Shipcaster event type kind of stuff, and the Galente haven't been really rallying anybody to try and do anything, at least like in general militia type, Discord or just chat and stuff like that. There isn't really a big push. Can you tell us more about what is this event that's happening? I know that there's a Shipcaster being built, and there's a bunch of different, you can do like data sites or combat sites or salvaging sites or something like that. But I don't know quite what's, if you could give us a good rundown, what's happening with this event?
So I think in Shipcaster you've got three sites. You've got the research data nodes, which are Frigate and below. And then you've got the middle one, which is, I believe, is Destroyer and below. And then you go up to the besieged laboratories, which are Battlecruiser and below. So one's hacking, one's salvaging, and the other one is just shooting NPCs and blowing up a tower, and they drop all the blueprints and all the items you need to build the data cores, and then you go hand them in and get some get a crate for it. And that, well, I think it was generating a percentage. As you know, Kaldari have already hit their percentage and they're way out front because I think they've already started building the Shipcaster. I think they're probably around 25-30% into Shipcaster now, because the other three factions are so far behind. Particularly Gelman.
Yeah, we're the farthest behind at this point, and we didn't really care about the last event that happened. The Galente did not push to try and be extremely participant in the last event. We didn't get our gate built, and so we're behind on all the research and all the stuff for it. And I know that we tried to use that as a time to focus on different other areas of the war zone and try and take Old Man Star and stuff like that during that time, and we refocused our efforts there. So do we know where the shipcasters are going to be at this point in time?
No. I think from what I'm seeing is a lot of our guys are off into Pokvin. That's where the resources are to build shipcaster. That's the next stage, is going off and doing mining in the Pokvin regions, which doesn't really interest me. I won't be going there. So there's a few. I think UCSC is sending fleets almost daily in there.
Oh, wow.
It'd be interesting to see how shipcaster actually eventuates, whether you build it and deploy it, it flings you across space somewhere, you know.
I'm concerned that it's going to be built in Taki or something like that, because for the Galente, if we even get one, which we might not, is because I'm not. I know that there's a big, you know, things going on with Taki right now, but if the shipcaster is a high sec kind of place, I'm not going to be using it at all. So that's the reason why I haven't really cared about it. But I guess I misunderstood, though, that maybe we don't know where it's going to be put down.
No. I wonder if it's something like Onimon in where I'm based, because there seems to be a lot of stuff that CCP is pushing out in that area for Eldari. So, yeah, look, it's going to be interesting to see whether you can sort of get up at this item and say, I want to go to here, and it flings you into a different system, remains to be seen.
Yeah, Taren says Anamon and Intaki, I think. Also, fight or flight. No flight, just fight or fight. Thank you so much for the follow. So they made Intaki high sec recently, and that's what I heard was the concept that it was going to be built in Taki, and it kind of sucks for me because I'm a pirate, so I'm not allowed in Taki, and my corporation, I just don't. Also, Intaki is like surrounded by low sec. It's not an easy place to supply at all. Anamon sounds like it's, you know, would be really great, because that's just a hop, skip, and a jump away from Jidda. So you can have that system like really supplied and ready to just ship cast people out. Intaki does not seem appealing to me at all as a place to live.
No, that's again CCP favoring Keldari over again.
Oh, right? No, that's
let's give them the trade hub. Let's have the first event take place in Athenoon. So I gotta fly through 12 Keldari systems to get there to mine. Like, who planned that out? CCP hates us.
No, they don't. They hate Keldari. You know, they're probably gonna nerf the Drake again.
Well, that's one of the things that's interesting, is that PvP wise, that's all that we care about. You know, it's like they know that the Galente for a long time have only ever cared about shooting things and, you know, making money on the side, maybe, but our main focus has just been shooting things. And that's, we've demonstrated multiple times that if an event comes the way of the Galente, they're going to use that as an opportunity to shoot things and not to participate in the event exactly. So we don't get all the sparkly toys, but we kind of do it on ourselves to a certain degree. But the Keldari do massively outnumber us in participants in PvE activities.
Yay, we probably do.
Yeah, between them and pirates, I've been having a hell of a week. So, with some losses this week. But speaking of losses, Kirk Arkanook, was your last kill, and he's one of the late night flyers that late U.S. time zone that I usually fly with. So you took out his executive navy issue just last night. Wow. So
yeah.
Yeah, that was for you.
That was a hell of a fight, actually, because I thought we were actually in a battlefield complex, and there was 27 versus 7, and about 18 of us was one guy multi-boxing, and he was completely terrible. We lost the battlefield to Gal, so congrats to the 7 pilots that took us 27 out. But we were, that one guy just let us down. So that fight, they left that fight with 3% structure.
Oh, man. You gotta like it when you get out with just 3% structure, you know? Like, if anything below 5%, you're like, oh, man, that was unbelievably close. Like,
It was great. I was pretty chuffed with it, but I think we just knew each other to death. And I think the range was like 500 meters. It was like kissing each other.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like you had the right ships for it, though, so... Looks like a fun fight. But great job, Kirk.
Yeah, so you were talking before about things that you'd like to see improved. I do like the idea of having the rats be... I think they should get rid of defensive and offensive plexing. And I kind of agree with the idea of having a point on the rat. The only thing that... The only reason why I don't like that is that that's going to make solo PvP almost... like extremely dangerous if you're going out trying to do solo PvP using the plexes. Group PvP doesn't, you know, it's not a huge change that kind of goes on there, but even so, just having that rat be actually a participant in combat, because right now it just doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't do enough damage to even, like, everything can be focused on PvP when you're in a plex. But if you have somebody that is able to just, you know, or an NPC that's holding you down, when you go do solo plexing and there's a gang of five people running around, they're much more likely to be able to catch you now.
Yeah, you're right, but that's just like Shipcaster. That's how it was in Shipcaster. So, If they modeled it on Shipcaster, the smart players go into like those Shipcaster event areas, and you have like five waves of NPCs. Then there's no more. But they're driving out like hundreds of kilometers off the site, killing all the rats, and then doing the site. So something similar to that would work. Expanding it a little.
It would be interesting because you wouldn't be able to... I mean, you could do that, but the time expenditure if you did that in a plex would be horrible order to burn off like that. So, you know, wanting to keep you inside. I think that plexes could be manipulated a little bit. I do have to say that this new update has made major improvements to plexing that didn't, without really doing any changes to plexing it directly. Besides, like, the concept of where you can plex has greatly improved the idea of plexing, because now that there's only, like, 15 or so, you know, sometimes only two systems, plexing is extremely dangerous now. Like, there's a very high likelihood that you're going to have, especially if you're solo playing, the war zone is terrifying to do any of the, like, frontline systems. Although you can do command operations, and it's pretty safe to a certain degree, depending on where you're doing that.
Yeah, you're right. I think CCP could make the whole faction war. They could certainly improve it. I'd like, for instance, cash in LP for ISK, like they've done with Shipcaster.
Oh, that would be interesting, because if it creates a baseline cash out, and then you could still use the LP store to try and get better cash out. Like, I would like to see like a million ISK per 1,000 LP. You know, just baseline payout would be really nice. And that would be, that would help newbies, because like the whole system of like how do you get money out of LP is a chore. And depending on how much you actually want to try and get out of it, it can be an extremely large chore to actually pull out ISK from the LP store.
That's right. Yeah, just cashing in the tokens. That's what we're using in Shipcaster. They're giving you a token, like number of tokens cashed in for ISK. It makes a lot more sense, because some people don't want to bother with getting a BPC and building a ship.
Yeah. Yeah, like right now I've been selling just the BPCs, but that's been getting a little bit, Well, the Moros is no longer worth anything anymore. You can't sell a Moros BPC to save your life at this point.
That's the other part of the LP game, is everybody starts to learn it. Like, the Moros was a great way to invest your a million LP in, and you can make, what were they going for, a billion? And now I think you're lucky to clear, what, 400,000? Or 400 million if you can actually sell one. There's, I think in Jeter right now there's like 30 on contract, so they're all over the place.
Yeah, there's work to be done for sure.
Yeah, I would like to see some kind. The only problem with that is that it creates a new ISK fountain into the game, right? Because right now, Faction Warfare LP cash outs are technically ISK sinks, which is kind of nice for the economy. And creating a whole new ISK fountain, I think, is an economical problem, possibly. But that's why I'm wondering why CCP has never implemented anything like that. Because they like the ISK sync that current faction warfare really is for any kind of LP cash out.
Now, my big change is I want a faction warfare uniform. I want a.
They kind of have some. They kind of have that in the LP store a little bit.
And I can put drip on. I want
that would be awesome.
Every time you get promotion, you get medals, you get hats, you can put that. Scrambled eggs on your shoulders and stuff, or give you a saber or something. I think it'd be great.
Zed Ricken says that triggers a baseline cost of faction warfare faction items through, though, right? Which is not a good thing necessarily. It artificially inflates the cost of items that are now less than 1,000 ISK per LP in the market. Well, one thing, so there is some problems with creating that baseline. However, already there's kind of already a baseline of kind of 1 million ISK per LP, because you just don't buy those items because it's just not worth it to get any item that's really less than a million ISK per LP, because there is always going to be some kind of item that's going to be worth equal to or better than 1 million is per 1,000 LP. But this would create a much harder baseline because of the direct cash out, instead of needing to like search around to find that baseline. That would be my argument for it to a certain degree. Because it's already there, just it's not as hard. I would love to see that those kind of changes. What have you been feeling about the, because it sounds like you fly like a pretty solid corporation. Have you found that there's been a large increase in medium gang fights because of Battlegrounds 5 person plexes and just like shrinking the war zone down? Like, how are you feeling about the shrunken war zone for medium combat?
Oh, I actually like it. That's my personal preference. I like the small to medium gang combat. That's what we enjoy. So I think that for a lot of players and what we're seeing in the current zones, it's actually working. I think down in the MR area, they're probably a little larger. They've had some really big fights down there. But it's quite stimulating. You can go out with a bunch of guys, half dozen, 10, 20, and you could get a decent fight.
Yeah, I've been finding that a lot. Yeah, I've been finding that a lot. Like, just, you know, go to the frontline system with 20 or so guys, and as long as you're not going to the backwater frontline system, which I don't think the Amar really have at all at this point in time. They're just but like four frontline systems altogether between like just what the main front lines, no matter what side you're on. I guess we could check that real quick. Let's see. Look at the map here. I love this fancy map as well. I really, really like what it looks like. Oh, there is more frontline systems over there now. Not as many though. One, two, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, it looks like, maybe, give or take.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, there is a lot of really good, like, small gang activity that I've been seeing. Sometimes it's, you know, if there isn't another fleet online at that time, that's when things get kind of, you know, boring. But a lot of the times there is contestedness around the battlegrounds I've been finding. How do you feel? What do you think of the battlefields? Have you guys been participating a lot with them?
Yeah, look, when we get them, we will go in. I think the battlefields could probably do with a little improvement. I'm not sure about this ABC beacons you're flying on. I think it leaves a bit to be desired. They could make it a little more interesting. I'm sort of trying to figure out how they would. I mean, the LP you get ever is massive, and I think it's probably overdone. They need to probably dumb that down.
And they have a little bit, you know, but because it was like 225,000 or something like that for an offensive, but now it's 150. But yeah, but it's still split between 30 people, so that's like, you know, billions of ist just pouring, well, potential ist pouring into people's pockets.
I mean, it gives you a good hit to advantage and things like that, but I think they need to make them somehow more contestable. The Alpha Bravo Charlie are maybe too far apart if you want to get people to engage. I mean, it's hundreds of kilometers.
That's the thing that I find really interesting about battlefields, is that it does create a really interesting environment in EVE that you don't see too much of. Because, like, with incursions and stuff, you kind of need to be, like, this tight, cohesive, understanding fleet in order to go out and do stuff. But with battlefields, it's these concepts of, like, a disorganized fleet can easily capture these. But if an organized fleet comes in on them, they're fucked. Even if you outnumber them 3, 4, 5 to 1 sometimes, if 10 men come in on 50 people and those 50 people are not organized in any real solid way, which there's usually, like, maybe one core fleet that you can have. But even so, because you have to be split up between the beacons, and you need to be split up between the different rally points, because you come in at different areas. I've seen, like, you know, a 10-man fleet of Drakes come in and be like, all right, we're just going to start popping people that are idiots.
Well, that's exactly what happened to us the night with the 7 Galmil versus 27 Kaldari. We were disorganized, and I was saying in fleet, that Domi's about to jump in. He was on a micro jump straight into us, and he did. He took the whole site from us. Game over. So we're at 98%, and we lost the whole site to them.
Yeah, that's rough. That is, and that's the. But I think that's kind of an interesting kind of thing, a play inside of battlefields, is that battlefields bring about a chaos that you don't really see, because you don't really need to be on the ball. You don't even need to be in somebody's fleet, you know, in order to participate inside of battlefields. I think that the seagull mentality seems to have lessened. At least I haven't seen as much of, like, just, you know, the 30, you know, ships of multi-boxed coming in to, you know, come in just to get the LP and flying off and stuff like that. But I think that there's... I really like them. The one thing, my biggest complaint is that there's a defensive battlefield. Why is LP payout based on it being a defensive one? Because that's there's no difference between an offensive and a defensive. At least there's a little bit of an argument to be said that it's easier to run a defensive plex because you don't need to do any DPS whatsoever. But I think that that's a problem as well. Like, you should have to have a solid amount. I think they should just get rid of offense and of defense, and there should just be frontline systems, command operation systems, and backline systems. Put two rats inside of the thing and allow them to be shooting at each other, doing the shit DPS that they do, and then a player has to come in and decide which, you know, force the one side to be the winning side. And then, yeah, they come back out every so often. I do think that... I think having the rat scram would... or just long point disrupt would be interesting. I could go either way on that one, though.
Well, you just put a few rats in there that could do that. Maybe some of the high-end cruiser NPCs or battleships that are doing it like they're doing in Shipcaster.
I think it would be more interesting to have... I think that one of the problems with faction warfare right now is that, at least with Plexing, is that it's very focused actually on PvP. It is an extremely boring task. Like, there is no challenge in it whatsoever. The idea of it is all based around the concept of the excitement in doing this is, you know, primarily going to be PvP and to make some money while you're looking for PvP. So I really love faction warfare. Faction warfare is like the only place that I really play Eve right now. I do maybe a little bit of hauling and stuff like that in industry now in order to, you know, utilize some of the rewards that I get from faction warfare make my money. But I don't like ratting, and I don't like 0.0 ratting or mission ratting or any of the other activities that really make you money in Eve, because they're all tedious tasks that just is repetitive, and there's no PvP possibility besides getting your butt kicked. Like, where faction warfare, I can take out a PvP ready ship, I can make money while I'm doing it. I can do it solo. I can do it with like 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 people. And it's also all right on my doorstep. So I don't need to fly 15 jumps to go look for a fight with a fleet. And if we, you know, if I have to go AFK, oh, I'm screwed. I'm in the middle of enemy space. You know, I've done 0.0 and stuff like that. So on that kind of note, what brings you to faction warfare? What do you love about faction warfare?
I think you've probably covered it there. So my guess background is I started in Wormholes and then went into Nullsec. So I lived in Proby for a long time, part of the old Proby block under I was part of Apocalypse Now. So we held soft there, then we moved into Catch and became part of the Legacy Coalition under Test. And that was probably my last foray, and I guess faction was something different, it's changed. So we thought we'd try faction warfare because we just didn't want to be pawns in the Null Blocks playbook, really. We just decided, you know, undock, get this doctrine, undock, get that doctrine. Can't be bothered with that. So faction warfare gives us, I think, a lot more flexibility in how we like to enjoy the game.
So do you primarily live out of High Sec or Low Sec?
We are based in Onamon, directly adjacent to the faction war low sec spaces. So we were deployed into Velilia. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Velilia. Mm-hmm. We travel in it with our suitcases, which are chimeras, and we deploy with those. So we were in Velilia. We've pulled back to defend Athenunan, because that's where the gate is that you talked about earlier, because we're not sure if Galmil actually took that system, what would happen to the gate.
Oh, yeah. So I heard that maybe it is, if we did take that system, that we might actually be able to stop that gate from working, is what I've heard. I haven't confirmed
And that's a bit of a fear of us at the moment, hence why we're parked right next door. So we're in there pretty much every night, like, trying to make sure you don't get it. But I think the scope of faction warfare, like I said, the battlefields, you can look at different ships to fly, which time how you hold, how you take those areas. It is a different mindset to just being a mindless null sec PvPer in a fleet of 500 and just hitting lock and shoot.
Yeah, I find the small gang is really, like, one, you've got to, like, as an individual pilot, you have to be much more personally responsible for what you're doing, but yep. you know, a lot of other fleets, it's really about, you know, just, you know, follow the fleet commander and then just do whatever you're told to a certain degree. But because
yeah,
if you're there's a lot more need for you to fill out more than a just a DPS role, for you to do something for the fleet. So when, you know, like your fleet commander is doing stuff and giving orders, you need to actually be personally aware of what you should be doing, not necessarily what the fleet commander is telling you to do. And yeah, I really love the small gang aspect of faction warfare mm-hmm. and what it kind of brings about. Because at this point in time, 30 people for me is a large fleet. Like that's somebody yep. bringing the hammer right. down, you know.
Yeah, we had 26 in fleet last night when we were running sites and just trying to deplex the region. So faction warfare is more tactical. I think that's the beauty of it.
Absolutely. So we do have some chat stuff here. So we've got fight or fight says, personally, I welcome the inclusion of new items in the LP store. We can already buy the white dress tunic in Galente, so I don't see what the harm would be. the white dress, blue tunic, or the blue one too, I think. I was selling those. Those were actually selling for a whole bunch of ISK. I was like really surprised on that. I really liked the inclusion of the Moros, the new battle cruiser and the new destroyer being included. I think put some life and some new items that you can kind of evaluate mm-hmm. on what you can build and buy. And I love the new destroyer. It's just epic for everybody's race, I think was really well done. How are you liking the new destroyers and new ships that just came in?
Yeah, really good. Haven't actually got into many of them, but because I'm probably mostly spending my time in cruisers. But look, all the Navy stuff is just really sweet to get into and fly. Just adds another dynamic, I think. But we could have more.
How do you feel about the change that came about with that you're not allowed to have pirate and T2 in anything except for advanced sites? Because like I thought that they were going to be changing it over to so that you know you could still get into a medium with your T2 frigate, but you wouldn't be able to get into like a small or a novice with that ship. But so it really like you can't even get into the higher level ones. Whereas that's kind of how it's always kind of was laid out, that the smaller ships would not be able, like the T2 couldn't get into the small ones, but they could get into the bigger ones. How do you feel about the narrowing of the ships that can be really used to Plex and battlefields?
I don't mind it at all, actually. It makes you, I think, if you're going to go out in a small fleet or even solo, you've really got to decide what you're going to go out in. If you're going to go out in a pirate ship and there's no advanced, or the guy that you want to engage is sitting in a Navy, then you just can't get them. So you've really got to get your head on right before you go out and drive around the battle zone. Look, clear advantages if you're in them and you can actually get into the advanced and get a fight, because the pirate and T2s have probably a clear advantage.
Oh,
same
yeah.
With the forced recons.
Like the forced recons, like hiding inside of a medium is still out there, man, and it's in the advanced. It's just a lot easier to identify that it's in the advance.
Yep, I know. We've done that trick a few times with Galmil.
Yeah, yep, and yeah, Galmil's used that a few times for sure as well. It's definitely like Fight or Fight says here, Navy ships are king in faction warfare now. And I kind of, I've heard a lot of complaints about it, especially T2 Logi is no longer a thing. So people, you know, it's harder to hit up above your weight in a size or in a small, you really, the best you can bring are faction destroyers. You know, you don't have the ability to ship up. And if they're into like a large, you know, you and they're a bunch of cruisers and stuff like that, you the best you can do is go up to like faction battleship type kind of stuff. So you still you're kind of able to, but there's always that limit on the size of the Plex, right? And so the best thing to be is the largest faction thing that can fit inside of it. So if that's what you're doing with your, you know, 20 man fleet or whatever, then it's a lot harder to like hit above the weight and bring in 10-15 guys, because if they've already maxed out what could be there. But I think that already exists in the past. It just was T2 was what everybody was flying. Now everybody is flying faction, which is great because that means our faction ships are getting destroyed, which means people need to buy our faction ships. And now that's what the best thing to really do is to build a bunch of faction ships.
Yeah, I think you're right. I look, and I probably agree with it. The Navy ships are great. It does probably level the playing field a little. I think there's so many variables between the faction ships, T2s, the pirate, the pilot flying it, for instance. The variables in the game in general make it very interesting. Do you take the fight, the 20mm SP2 versus the 150mm SP2? It's the beauty of it.
Yeah. No, and I still find solo fights out there. I know some people complain a lot about solo fights out there. The thing is that as a hunter, it's a little bit harder to find just solo people running around. A lot of people are teaming up to do flexing these days. It's a much more of a team event. But what I find to be useful is to go out solo flexing myself, and then churn the tables on the hunted. You know, let the hunter come in on me, land at zero, play my game, and I can have the best ship for, you know, a scout or a navy, and be like, this is, you're going to have to come in at me and we're going to brawl and we're going to have fun. And either we're going to punch each other in the face and one of us is going to go down, or, you know, this is going to be a quick fight because you tried to be, you know, fast and scrammy. And that's, you know, the people that are kiting, like kiter hunters are not very common anymore, because it's a lot harder to just come in. You can get caught right on top of that button, and just the game is over immediately.
That's right.
But yeah, so before we wrap things on up, as we're coming up on our hour here, I just wanted to kind of make sure that give you a space here. If you got a website that you want to shout out, I'll make sure that I'll put any, you know, shoot me over DM with any kind of links that you want me to put into the show notes. But, you know, give this time to give you a shout out. You know, thank you for coming on to the show very much. And if there's any projects or any special things that you're working on, it sounds like you got a lot of ISK to throw around. So
I do, yes.
This would be time to talk about it. So,
well, look, thanks for having us on. That's been it's been very, very good. I'd say thank everyone. So, I have no website. As I said, we're called Carry All's Legacy. We're Australian time zone. We've been around, I guess, the players a long time, 2010. So we are vets. So if anyone in the Australian time zone is looking for a home, come and knock.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. I would love to see more people in the Kaldari. Aussie time zone is when I like to play on the weekends. I like to be on at like 3 a.m. in the morning my time, which is like afternoon your time, I think, something like that. And I see a lot of people coming out, you know, and having fun. And having that time zone be more active, always good. I always love to have more targets, so I do not mind fighting outnumbered, because that just means that there's more chances of somebody being an idiot on the enemy side, and that's who I'm going to kill.
Just tell me where you live and I'll be around.
I'm always... So I live out of Yvangir. I base my corporation out of Yvangir, and we mostly fight Devon and Aboon
Right now.
So that's...
Yep, so you're up against Sheriff.
Yep, that's we're down in the southern, you know, section of the war zone, and that's where we play. That's we're usually small 5-10 man, you know, gangs that'll fly mm-hmm. around and do some stuff down here or do a lot of solo, and solo is one of the things that we like to have a lot of fun with, so.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Sienna, thanks so much for, you know, coming on and bringing this up. I said this is a legendary heist, one for the record books, and one I just continue loving to read about this. So I really appreciate you coming on and giving us a little more background on it.
No, my pleasure.
All right. Well, thank you all for watching. And if you're interested in joining up with the war effort, you could also check out Golden Age Stories. We fight for the Galente, so if you want to have the hardest, this is like the hardest hard mode. You don't get access to Jidda. You're in the side that is not going to be fighting for these major events that are going on, apparently. And we're just all about fighting and getting into some PvP, and making money on the side by doing flexing. So we don't even mind if the whole Warzone fights, sinister or falls. That just means that the front lines is right on our doorstep. So Yvanger, you only need to go right now 2 jumps to get to a high sec, or to get to a front line system. So you can always watch us live on Twitch every Sunday at 2200 Eve time. That's 5 p.m. Central time. And if you miss the show live, you can also watch our recording on our podcast, The Federation Frontline Report. You can find that on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, and any other podcasting platform really out there. You can always check out our website, federationfrontline.com, for more information on our alliance, our podcast, friends of the show, and EVE Online in general. Also, if you have anything that you want us to talk about on the show, if you'd like to be a guest, or you have like an after action report that you want us to talk about, go ahead and shoot over an Eve mail to Frozen Fallout in game, and we'll get that all set up here. So thank you all for watching. Thank you for coming on, Selena. This has been really awesome. Have a great night.
Thanks, guys.
Good night, everybody. See you.